the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, meaning the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. appears to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create equivalent beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
Well, I got hit with that metaphorical 2x4 that you talked about. And it feels like just the best thing that could happen. Wow. It just kind of reset my practice at day one.
Right. So getting hit by that metaphorical 2x4 feels like the best thing that could have happened. It's like it reset your practice to day one.
Yes. That's how it seems right now. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it is right now.
Yeah. Yes. Really getting it, that what practice is dropping the story, no matter what it is, coming back into the body, into the senses, and being right here.
Yeah.
And I had kind of forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of suffering and feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope if it's self-hate, that's pretty obvious.
Right.
You know, but it's one of those things that presents as very pleasant music moves about something that's more alluring.
Right.
You know, it's some supremely logical construct. It's more alluring as it is.
Yeah.
And the piece I'm really looking at today is about a retreat that ended yesterday. One of the things Sherry said was, if you heard again, is if you're not having fun, then you're not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just not fun to be practicing dropping a story and coming back into the present, accompanied by judgment for having been in a story.
Right.
Okay, this is 101 stuff. And it's wonderful. I hope I never leave it.
I was going to say, because, boy, who doesn't go through a day where they don't need that reminder?
Yeah.
Right? Because what you're describing, at least to me, if I'm following, is that so you realize you're in a story. You said, you know, leaving the story and coming back to center, and then being essentially beaten up for having been in that story, is it's a movement through center, but immediately pulled back out the other side into another, basically another story.
Yeah.
You're the wrong person,
fun.
And it's not fun. Yeah.
And it's just useless. It's egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, staying alive.
Yeah.
And tendencies to have an adversarial relationship with it, of course.
Right.
And that's, that is not conducive to presence.
Yeah.
That's just giving an energy.
Yeah.
So it was a good and hearty retreat.
Mm-hmm. So realizing that the thing that Sherry said of if you're not having fun, you're not practicing, and how not fun it is to come out of a story into center, but immediately into self-hate out of that, and that what we're supposed to, what I project we're supposed to be trained in that is that coming back to present is difficult and painful. But it's at, what we don't see is that it's the movement immediately after that that's so difficult and painful. So it's such a perfect, you know, thing for ego to connect center with that self-hate immediately after center.
Yeah.
If we can confuse those two things, then we get trained, I don't want to come back awake. I don't want to because it's going to be hard. But when we're practicing at that subtle level that you're describing, and we begin to tease out and see, wait a minute, those aren't the same thing. You know, it's a millisecond later, but it's not the same moment. It's not the same thing that's happening.
Yeah, that's very well described. That would be a touchstone for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not having fun.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm caught.
Yeah.
It's gotten.
Yeah.
Somewhere or somehow.
Yeah.
I'm in some kind of story.
Yeah.
I might be seeing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not having fun is the clue.
Yeah. Exactly. And there's so many potential great recordings in that that I just heard when you said that. So there's the one of what it feels like to be at center. What it feels like to be at when I really am here. What does that feel like? You know, that just that place, you know, take a walk and look at, well, it feels alive and it feels open and beautiful and nothing's wrong. It's all okay and everything that came before is okay and everything that will come, you know, just that, making that recording. And then a recording of what it feels like in that self-hate place immediately after. Because then we have those two, okay, oh, I'm not in the center place. You know, I'm in the other one. So that we have those markers for us. Because as you say, I forget. I want us to forget. And we do.
Oh, we do. I guess.
Yeah. And then just the last piece of it that I saw, too, was you know, recording around that's, it's all okay. That whole process that you just described is so what happens in practice. You know, so the waking up and seeing that I'm not having fun is practice.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and how easily, immediately, it's like, well, see, you weren't having fun, so you weren't practicing.
That's really helpful to hear. I was looking at, well, I think the last day of the retreat, I heard a voice that said, well, when you get to this point, you'll be happy. And I caught on to it, and I thought, no, I won't. If I'm not happy now, I won't be happy then.
That's right. Yeah.
And the old
process doesn't lead to another.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so not having fun is another way of saying that.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I start a transition, a big one, and there's a feeling of excitement and terror all together. Mm. And I thought, so at the end of that transition, when I get there, it'll be all okay. And I was thinking, well, I could just be happy during the transition.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite trick in that one is, okay, so at the end of the transition, I'll be okay. Okay, well, and how kind of facilitate myself? Well, how will that be? Oh, well, you know, it will be this, and it will be that, and, you know, and then all of, everything will be lined up, and, you know, I don't know, whatever the content is. But really draw that person out. And then so often, what we get in that facilitation of ourselves is to realize, oh, I guess I'm in that place right now, to be able to describe it there. I can practice being in that place as I do every step of the transition. Because then when I, quote, finish the transition, I've done all that. I've practiced being where I'm going to be at the end of the transition, so the odds are really good I will be.
And we don't know what transition is next.
Exactly.
There's nothing to go get to. But that's helpful, because that's what I was looking for, was some help with it. So I could facilitate myself through it each step. Mm-hmm. And maybe draw out and clarify and reflective listen on the recorder.
Yeah.
And let the mentor come in and, you know, this is really difficult and you know, what can I do to you?
Yeah. What I hear in that is kind of that what can feel like a razor's edge of that place of not denying what's going on. So maybe there's a lot going on about the transition. Maybe, you know, you're having various reactions inside of you that are passing through. And if those are allowed to pass through with that unconditional acceptance and kindness and patience and love and really, really, you know, caring, then we can guess on some level that is what you're looking for at the end of the transition. Right? And so being able to facilitate the person to allow her to have the experience that's going on in this moment while holding that in the larger place of what is it that supposedly is the carrot at the end of the thing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also there's other people affected out there. Mm-hmm. So if I can practice kindness was the aperture that Sherry gave me as a way to shut the voices down, basically, on what's right and what's wrong, so like where I go. Mm. But if I go to kindness, what is the kindest thing? And that would be what you were pointing out, would include me first.
Yes.
What's the kindest thing for me during that process?
Yes.
And the kindest thing for others.
Yes.
Even if it's uncomfortable or they don't like it or whatever.
Right. Right.
Including children, which is the hardest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because there's such a, I would project an ingrained belief that I'm responsible for their experience.
Right.
And what I do determines their experience. Which we know from practice is not so, but boy, it's easy to get into believing that.
That what I do will affect them so much, you know.
Right.
And I think but practicing kindness and being happy through the process is going to be more just like a role model for them.
Yeah.
And then in turn, I won't be identified when I'm short, impatient, unkind, all those things happen.
Yep. And if and when you are, if it's immediately followed by kindness, what an incredible modeling that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Right? Because it's that old, you know, trick we use with ourselves. Okay, so I love these children so much. Okay, so now I'm going to imagine, you know, as they go into their adult life, very likely, guaranteed pretty much, they're going to go through similar situations where they're going to have people in their lives that they feel responsible for and blah, blah, blah. What would I want for them? Do I want them to be tortured inside their own heads? Well, if I do this, I do that. Or can we look at them and see, oh my gosh, it's just a gigantic adventure. And we have no idea. You know, we have no idea what's the best in any situation for anyone. As you say, maybe they don't like it, in the moment, but that's not to say it's not the absolute best thing for everyone involved.
And then to talk it off, teenage boys are the teenagers on the planet. So, you know, not taking that personal and just continuing forward. And finding the teenage boy in here
that we can have that incredible patience and compassion and love for, you know? He's a teenage boy.
Yeah.
It's part of the deal. There's nothing wrong. And it doesn't mean anything.
There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But that is a normal process to go through.
Yep.
For, I guess, boys. And I wouldn't know, but... We might have had a grumpy moment or two as well
as girls.
Being a teenage girl was not easy. So mentoring myself through it, recording and listening a lot. You know, remembering practice, it's the remembering is is a big deal.
It's huge.
And so I think some structure. Also, my like I do this every morning. I do this at lunch. I do this in the evening. I put on the calendar, you know, the radio shows, the, all the scheduled events that I can do to help remember through that period until I do get to the place where there's more time in the schedule.
And you know, one of the things I keep hearing as a theme coming up in practice of late is being really patient. As you, in essentially, you're introducing a new skill into your repertoire, right? Your kindness is the word you're using for it. But to be able to really mentor with kindness, we could say all of life, but yourself and those around you, as you move through this particular phase in your life. And so, you know, if that's fairly new to bring that particular thing into this particular situation, it's not always going to feel comfortable or... You're not necessarily going to feel, quote, skillful, or, you know, it's maybe not going to come really easily, or, but again, a lot of kindness for just that process of even learning that process.
Yeah, that's so good to remember, because being a one, you know, everything's supposed to be perfect and right.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to be comfortable with the chaos and the uncomfortableness and the unskillful things that happen.
And in this case, how perfect to use the kindness to remind yourself right and wrong is very unkind.
Very unkind.
Very unkind. Because there is no such thing. So talk about driving someone crazy. Yep. You know, trying to get it right when there is no such thing.
Yeah, it's completely ego. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong with that, exactly.
Yeah.
Just part of the deal.
I think that kindness is really
kind of covers it all.
Love for Sherry when she told me, she said, just came.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun. When I walked in this morning, I thought, where is everybody?
I know. Where are the room dividers?
That's exactly
the,
The
room looks so empty.
So, I didn't realize I was looking at this in this context until it kind of just dropped in this morning. I was sitting here being identified with David, which usually entails nervousness and preparation and, you know, all these things. And then all of a sudden it dropped in that the process that I'm that is being seen, if you will, is essentially it's a place of duality. I'm looking at duality. And it came in this really fun way, which took all the nerves away, which is just fascinating to watch that as a presence of being so identified with the David, and then to have that drop. And what replaced it was it's a game of hide and seek. It was just the coolest thing to have it drop in like this. So essentially the process that I'm seeing or just got to see in this moment is that ego is hiding, so it doesn't want people to see it. It doesn't want to be exposed. There's a lot of other variations of it, but it's hiding. And then to kind of reinforce itself on the other side of duality, it's seeking.
Uh-huh.
So it's seeking happiness and silence and enlightenment. I mean, not doesn't use enlightenment, but you know, like to feel that way and to be free, and you know, so all these things that I hear coming out of this mouth in group all the time. I'm almost there, and I'm going to be free, and I want happiness, and I feel the silence, and, you know, there's all this, like, you know, demonstrating on its behalf in a way.
Uh-huh.
And then when that gets a little bit too boisterous and self-conscious, it goes back to the hiding, which is, you know, you can't let anybody know.
Right.
You know, and so there's this constant identification, which I think it's just some big scam to get me out of the this here now.
Yeah, well, and to have you, no matter what, always make that mistaken identity, believe that you are it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as you were saying that, the phrase that dropped in was, it's hiding in the seeking.
Yeah, that, exactly.
And like that, one of those images where you look at it, and if the palm trees are there, but it really, at first it all looks like just the different colors, and you can't see the palm trees So the palm trees aren't behind anything.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, you don't have to pick anything up.
Right.
They're right there.
Yeah.
But they're hidden until you can see it as the image is, and then they just, they pop out.
That's a perfect way to say it, because the seeking is the very thing that would kind of take away from what is already there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, all those words that were just put out, you know, freedom and silence and happiness and, you know, all these things, they are the palm tree.
Right.
I mean, that's what's here.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a great exploration in some ways. Like, it was really fun to have that drop in. And I was looking at it kind of on a content level from this place of this whole past week of the seeking to get away from this moment now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the whole crux of it.
Yeah.
And so, like in guidance, the way that it was kind of came back to me was that ego is always trying to make it a thing. So like.
What a thing.
Anything.
So, peace, so like, freedom, joy.
Exactly. Uh-huh. What I'm going to do, how I'm going to feel, what my life is going to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like it turns everything into a thing, which is out there, which is some other moment than this one right now.
Right.
And there's the grotesque level of it, and it's in the sense of, you know, I want to go do X, or I want to be with these people, or the other grotesque place of that is the other side of reality, which is I need to get away from this situation, this feeling, these people, kind of thing. And then it can get all the way down to the really finite level, where it's quite literally like, how do I escape this moment?
Yeah.
This feeling, this sensation, this anything it is, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was looking at that, and then it kind of, it hides from the moment, and then it seeks to get away from the moment.
Exactly.
It's like this. It's just a really fascinating.
Yeah.
And yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, go. Is there more?
Yes, but it can. It's still here.
Well, I was just saying. It reminds me of the conversation we had of, you know, as soon as they get to the end of the transition, because so supposedly trying to get away from what's going on in the moment, which is ego trying to get away from what's going on in the moment. And the way to avoid actually accidentally getting into the moment is to try to get into the moment, because one process doesn't lead to the other.
Yeah.
So all I get in that is trying to be peaceful, trying to be free, trying to.
And the trying is the seeking.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
And it's a classic gerbil on a.
Yeah.
I was about to say gerbil on a hamster wheel. It must be gerbil wheels. A gerbil on a gerbil wheel, a hamster on a hamster wheel. But it's that to a T, because it's that incessant trying to get somewhere that doesn't exist, because it's getting away from what already is.
Right.
And then when I arrive with already is, it's already no longer what is. You know, it's this And then to hide that that process is going on.
Oh, that's the cherry on top, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not happening. I'm good.
Yeah, it's all cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Bliss over here.
Yeah, you know, yeah, totally. Like, I'm free. Nothing affects me, kind of thing. But both of those aren't true. I mean, that's the whole thing, is it? And I think it was really, the one experience I had of it was, you know, this whole week was kind of an exploration of that, whether I knew it or not, kind of thing. It was all kind of going on, and there was moments of, you know, real openness, and there was just a lot of contraction, too. You know, a lot of, like, don't really know what's going on, system being bombarded, basically karma getting burned up with no, like, I know what's going on.
Right.
Like, not at all. Like, I don't. I basically, the system is being assaulted and all the rest of it.
Sounds like retreat.
Perfect retreat. Yeah, it was. It was a retreat. The system going, okay, so how many more is there with Sherry this summer? and so what really struck me, though, was driving home one evening after a day of the hiding and seeking. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, turning on the recorder to talk about all of it from inside the hiding or the seeking, which is just really not fun to listen to. And all of a sudden, I just broke out into a spontaneous, when you're happy and you know it, and then and just sung, and then, you know, when you're happy and you know, whistle, when you're happy, you know, snap your fingers. I mean, it was just like, it was like, okay, something is really bizarre here. I'm still taking this personally. There's an I who, so it's not like it all went away. It was all there, and it was like that kind of sick, hot breath, kind of like a little nauseated, a little sickening dread, you know, the anxiousness and stuff. So there's that kind of person. But then at the same time, there was space for whole mind, which is happy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't really care about it. It doesn't care about the self-consciousness of the ego who's desperately trying to make it all serious and to hide and not let anybody see it, and then to get on this warpath of seeking and be self-righteous and better than. And, you know, so...
And kind of that working against it, the way in that when we were in that first conversation we had, like, okay, I'm going to go against it. I'm going to fight against it.
Yeah.
But just that place of, I mean, you're describing basically practicing. Practicing, okay, so it's all going on, all the usual stuff, it's going on, it's trying hard to get my attention, and you're literally practicing not giving me your attention.
Yeah.
So there's still the sickening dread, and there's still sensations, but you're practicing not doing that, and not expecting that anything's going to necessarily change, or you're going to feel differently, you're just going to practice having your attention where you want it to be, basically on life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's framed really, that's so helpful to hear that frame that way. Because I do think that was going on. And I don't think that I was really able to frame it or see it like that. Because, of course, it was happening in here.
Right.
So to kind of put it out and have it framed like that allows me to see that, like, you know what, gosh, that is exactly what was happening all week.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
sitting in group, doing, you know, to and from in the evenings. It was also that, you know, there was... And it wasn't like it was one experience or the other.
Right.
There was times when, you know, the human being felt tortured by just incessant stuff. There was times when there was a complete absence of thoughts. There was silence. You know, that side can't be denied either. And yet, I think what might have been happening was just this place of the either side of those. It was like this kind of questioning, like, well, can either one of those not be personal? Like, what would it be like if neither one of those experiences was like me having that experience? That it says something about me, either that I is now liberated, or that I is really messed up and needs to do more seeking and has to hide and not let people see the vulnerability and the insecurity and the shyness, the smallness. You know, what if both of those were genuinely what was going on?
Yep.
And if neither one of them needed to be attended to or personalized or given meaning to and stuff.
Yeah.
It felt like that was maybe what was going on.
Yeah, stepping back into awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
I have discovered a conditioned bias in toward thinking versus being in the body,
mm-hmm.
As almost and it's weird to see or interesting that that it looks at it from an evolutionary perspective,
mm-hmm.
and says that the body is a lesser.
Mm-hmm.
And that the, you know, the mind is the mm-hmm. the higher, and mm-hmm. so it is more valuable to mm-hmm. be attending to what's mm-hmm. going on in the mind
mm-hmm.
than attending to what's going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see is that my experience of mind is really more just a obsessive process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ruminating or planning or.
Yeah.
And that, and the lie is that that, you know, just being in my body and feeling my body, movement, say, or just even just in sitting,
mm-hmm.
is not as valuable
mm-hmm.
as somehow as being in the mind,
right.
and it adds the kind of twist of being. Ignoring the fact that it's an obsessive process,
mm-hmm.
and really that's almost like the gateway mm-hmm. to higher consciousness mm-hmm. or something is mm-hmm. actually, you know, through that instrument,
uh-huh.
and not, you know, not through this one.
Right.
And just interesting to play with it, like yesterday in the airport, choosing to walk instead of using the tram,
mm-hmm.
and also choosing to walk on the ground versus the moving sidewalks, or to use the stairs rather than the escalator,
mm-hmm.
simply because I wanted to experience movement.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I wanted yeah. to be there for that because that's actually pretty pleasurable.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed that in recently doing projects outside is uh-huh. that just the simple act of movement,
yeah.
regardless of, you know, of what's being done, is a pleasurable focus of attention.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that there's, I don't know if I can quite say it, but even there's something about participating in the movement, because of course if you're on the tram or you're on the moving side, you're moving, but there's something about participating in the movement that makes it different, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah,
about actually being there for it instead of being moved.
Yeah, you instead know, of so being moved, right? Moving.
Yeah. And moved at my body speed. You know,
yeah.
I'm still moving, I'm still walking on that moving sidewalk, but that's faster than...
Right. Which might explain that surreal sensation, isn't it?
When you stop.
Like you're in a movie or something. Or a dinosaur, how a dinosaur might.
And then coming to the end of that moving sidewalk. Yeah. That feeling, but, you know, I want to look at this about, you know, do I know what mind is?
Right. Yeah. And it's just, there's so much in it, isn't it? That I'm sure, you know, many of us can relate, that ingrained assumption that somehow this is better, you know, more interesting or whatever it is than being in the body. But then when really, really looking at it, realizing, gosh, most of what goes on here is quite repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you used the word obsessive.
Right.
You know, planning, thinking, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that life doesn't seem to communicate with us in that form, but boy, that's not the majority of what goes on there. And that life sure seems to communicate with us all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Through what I would call hunches or, you know, awarenesses,
yeah.
like being in meditation and all of a sudden coming to and thinking, okay, we're within a minute and the bell's going to ring.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just, oh, that's some kind of intelligent
yeah.
information that just kind of comes in
yeah.
and stuff. But
yeah.
but trying to, not trying, but being attuned more to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the obsessive process stops,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not, you know, where
it's not where we're choosing to participate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
What a neat sort of koan to be entering a month at the monastery with. You know, where so much of our lifestyle here is set up to assist us in being in the body.
Yes.
You know, that very, very kind schedule of we sit, you know, very still, very quiet, we move, you know, we move vigorously sometimes, other times more quietly, you know, there's space for walking, there's, you know, just all of that that really, really assists us in doing that practice of coming more into the body that at least as Westerners we're really trained not to do.
Right, because I believe that all is equal in the experience mm-hmm. of being a human, and mm-hmm. that includes being in the body, mm-hmm. The feelings, you know, all of that, mm-hmm. rather than having it be so lopsided,
right.
you know, into the mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So during retreat last week, conditioning had this little side story. Every once in a while, I say, "Wow, I can't wait till everybody leaves, you know, from the monastery to myself." And then everybody left. And conditioning went, "What? Oh, nobody's here? It's kind of scary." So, just to see that,
yeah.
you know, that duality of...
Basically that it will play whatever card it's got.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd rather be alone. No, you gotta be alone.
Oh, you gotta be with people. Yeah.
So, but it was interesting that it wasn't at the high level that it's been at before. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that I gave a lot of attention to. I could see it kind of come in and... Mm-hmm. So, from that perspective, it's kind of fun. So with that idea of not getting identified, uh-huh. just right,
kind of still being able to be aware of it,
yeah,
not having it completely take you over,
right,
it's there,
yeah,
enough so that it's really there to be seen,
yeah,
but there's yeah. also awareness there to see it,
yeah. And what comes up when you say that is, you know, times where I've been so identified, and I'd be saying to Sherry, "Oh my god, I can't," and she's like, "But don't you see this is good? You know, you can see it." I was like, "Oh, all right." So,
and that's so the place for the recorder, isn't it? Because, you know, like in a guidance appointment, it's recorded, or when we have the willingness to record when we're in that place, even if in that moment we can't see that we see it.
Right.
Later on, listening back, not only can we see it, but at least in my experience, we can see that we could even see it at the time, but we couldn't see that we could see it.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I wish I had my recorder on for that one. That's right. Which is a beautiful segue into what dropped in last night as I, you know, trundled back to my hermitage after working meditation and sitting and snack and all that. And it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? There's not group. There's not this. There's not that. You don't have this available. You don't have that available. And so I pull out the recorder and I start listening and I'm like, whoa, that was a really good insight, you know. So I stop it and I hit to another folder and I go, so I really want to, you know, get this down. And then I go back to listening to the old stuff and then it just drops in. It's like, oh, that's why I'm at the monastery. Like, I get to do this.
Yeah.
And not all that other, even if the other stuff was kind of, you know, conditioning guys to under self-care of, mm-hmm. you could, you know, do all your personal hygiene stuff, mm-hmm. you know, really take care of the body and mm-hmm. do this and blah, blah, blah. And it sounded, you know, really yeah. nice. Yeah. And it would have been fine.
Yeah,
you know, had
exactly.
I gone that way,
yes.
it would have been fine too. But what was yeah. really great was to see not being distracted from practice.
Yeah.
And I know that, I mean, I feel like I've said it before, and it's been said before, but really getting it at this level of recording and listening for me, which has been such a challenging practice to have, mm-hmm. of you know, listening to things, then recording new insights, and listening to things, and then recording, you know, new recordings that would then lead to, you know, mm-hmm. listening more, and it just all felt like, oh,
I got it. Yeah. So that's why you're here. That's why this place exists.
Well, and that's where all the guidelines are.
Yeah.
no outside, no yeah. nothing, no, you know, nothing yeah. in your Hermitage, nothing, yeah. you know, this is it, this
yeah.
is it.
And this so, is it. And as you say, it's not because these sets of things are good and these sets of things are bad. These are right and these are wrong. It has right. nothing to do with that. Right. It's just that it is incredibly challenging to wake up and end suffering.
Exactly. And that is exactly also what dropped in too was, if I spend this much time actually dedicated to practice, what limits aren't, you know, available or what opportunities aren't available? And then conditioning comes in and goes, you don't need to.
Right. Shut that down. Yeah. What it will so often do is go, oh, so that means da 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 da, so that it can immediately go, well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Instead of just remaining in that insight of, wow.
Right.
There are no limits to what's possible.
Right.
As far as we can tell, life wants to wake up. And if one wants to dedicate all of one's attention to that, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And conditioning is scary. Which is not a surprise.
Yeah, it's really. So.
Yeah, that is exciting.
What I've been seeing about my own process in the conversation today, and I'm looking at through a particular content, but I suspect it's not, of course, limited to that mm-hmm. content. So mm-hmm. I recognize that there's a whole, the conditioned process is when this content goes on, is to try and figure it out so I can fix it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And because, like we were talking about earlier, because then when it is fixed, then I will feel this way.
Right.
And what I've been attempting to learn to practice is, because what gets left out in that is the care for the being who's having the experience she's having in that content.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, so it looks like I'm taking care of her by trying to fix it so that she can feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
But really, she's not being attended to.
Uh-huh. So
because she feels, I mean, she's usually fairly terrified in that particular
right.
content. So.
Uh-huh.
But no one is paying attention to her.
That's interesting. So if I'm following, it's almost like there's at least several characters involved. So there's the one who is terrified
mm-hmm.
and is going through this thing.
Right.
And then there's a secondary something that doesn't want that, to feel that, to experience
right.
that, wants to get away from that.
Right.
And so is going to do these things to take care of
right.
so that we won't have that experience anymore,
right.
but is really only concerned with themselves.
Right.
So she's not only terrified, but now she's abandoned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That really seems so. And so I've been working at practicing more to turn my attention to the being and the
yeah.
sensations and being with that rather than what's wrong.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, there's no guarantee that if something's wrong, it could ever be fixed.
Right.
You know, what fixing looks like
or
that there is anything that needs to be fixed.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
you know, so it's one of those, the content is irrelevant kinds
right.
of things.
Yeah.
And so, but it's so interesting to watch. And so what was helpful is some of the reminders about the patience, because
yeah.
so I have put my whole motivation and intention into this process of
mm-hmm.
shifting the way I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I have all these practice commitments that
mm-hmm.
are geared towards that
mm-hmm.
and the intention not to do some specific behaviors that are going in that other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching how strong the habit is to go there, and how, you know, there are those sensations come up. There's that desire to fix it. There's those familiar habits of figuring it out and what's the next step.
Yep.
And to just switch back and go, no, what we're being is we're just being here.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, kind of an upping your game image dropped in of the courage of an athlete, you know,
mm-hmm.
an elite athlete, to take the next step.
Yeah.
So here's someone who is really, really good at this game. Mm-hmm. You know, been practicing a really long time, right?
My whole
so
life.
In many, many, well, but I'm talking about the practice.
The other kind of practice.
You know, let's take someone, I don't know, a skater, really good skater, right. You know, in their level at who they compete against, you know, win a lot of the time, you know, a lot of practice under the belt, a lot of ways to practice with everything that comes up, really, really different than many, many years ago of practicing. Mm-hmm. Now, here's this thing. This challenge that comes forward. Mm-hmm. And to me, at least, the courage of that athlete to go, all right, mm-hmm. I'm going to that next level. Right. Because, of course, what that's going to evoke is feeling like we're a beginner.
Right. It does.
Because it's going to feel again like, ugh.
Like, what am I?
Like when I was first putting those stupid skates on my feet and I couldn't stand up. And it's going to feel that way. It's going to feel, if I put myself in this much bigger arena, then it's all those, you know, feelings of brand new that we're trained to not like.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel unskillful. It makes me feel like, and you know, impatient to get to the back to the skillful place.
Right. And wondering, you know, and that's so helpful to hear that because the process itself isn't new.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a lifelong process.
Right.
But
the way you're
but my experience of it is that it's new.
Yes.
Because of the intensity of it, but in a way it's like what you're saying. Okay, so now, I've got this part all of my life. You know, I've been practicing with that, but now I've upped my game, and now there's this new level.
Yeah.
And it requires me to show up in a different way.
And you're being willing for that. What you're bringing to it is new.
It
the
is.
Possibility, the intention, the focus, the intensity of it that you're bringing to it is new. You know, so there's not that sort of, good enough.
Right.
You know, good enough, and then we'll just, this one will stay in the box because I'm not making any headway with it. And, but there's the willingness to say, let's go in again.
Yeah. And another really thing that was helpful was that part about hiding, because that one who feels afraid hides, not to this being, I mean, she's real obvious to this being, but she's not allowed to be seen in public. You know, she's not okay.
Right.
She does not meet the standards.
Right.
So therefore, what I display in public is the effort to fix.
Right.
Because that's that's safer.
Right.
You know, but to say, oh boy, this scares the bejesus out of me. I'm not going to say that. Because, you know, it doesn't want it. There's something wrong with that, you know, but to realize, no, there's not.
There isn't.
That's the one where we're practicing. That's who we're practicing with.
Right, Mickey, it's just the world of opposites, isn't
it?
Because what we're trained to do is, it sounds from what you're describing, not even so much that she hides, but she's hidden.
Yes.
She's pushed
that's
back
right.
there.
She's not allowed to
reinforce that there's something wrong with her.
Yeah.
Which just holds the whole thing in place.
Yeah.
And if she were allowed to just be there and the authentic experience were just, gosh, this scares me so much.
Right.
I know intellectually it's not me.
Right.
I really, really get that, but the sensations in my body are huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how much freedom there would be in that, and how much, you know, of a communication to her that she matters.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah.
This is completely all right.
Yeah.
There's not even anything wrong.
That's right. There's not even anything wrong. Yeah. And I also saw in that a little process I do around sleep that I think is a mini process of that, which had never occurred to me. But so if I'm lying awake for a while, and I'm lying awake and I'm getting frustrated and I'm trying all my tools to go to sleep, it does not work. I just am more awake and more awake and more awake. But what I've discovered is that if I really enter into the feeling that I'm feeling, which is I am so frustrated that I am not sleeping.
Yeah.
And I act it out a little, like I pound the pillow and say, I am so sick of not sleeping, I'm asleep in about 40 seconds. And I think it's that same thing. She just got acknowledged of what she's feeling.
Yeah.
And that was enough. And and that took care of it. Rather than, let's see if we just did this or maybe we should do this.
Yeah. Fix it, change it.
Yeah, but just, here's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's going on.
Yep.
It's okay.
Yep.
Be with it.
Yep.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. Right. And without the problem being solved.
Without the problem being solved. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that was useful. I saw something this morning. It's one of those things that seems so as plain as the nose on your face, but you know. But
which isn't so plain.
Which isn't so plain, really. It's not so plain. It's
kind of us. We can see your nose.
I know. I said that.
Okay. It's kind of a perfect image. Though.
It is.
It's as plain as the nose on my face. All of you can see it.
That's right.
But I can't. And it's how you know, ego just separates things into compartments. And I saw this morning for the first time that, you know, I go on retreat, and retreat is the workshop sessions.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, because I feel like what was the most value I got from this retreat occurred outside of those workshop sessions. And I hadn't noticed that I was looking to the sessions to evaluate the effects of the retreat.
Yes.
And then I saw, oh my God, it was all those times, you know, in the kitchen or, you know, moving around when I saw, I saw those things that get pushed away or denied.
Yeah.
That there's no acceptance for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And knowing that they're, his guide says that, you know, it's not you.
Right.
It's not you.
Right.
Boy.
Yeah. It's one of those.
Why did that nasty stuff have to land on me? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know what, it strikes me that it's one of the great challenges and the great gifts of living at the monastery,
mm-hmm.
is that we go on retreat. I mean, like, we all really participated in this retreat, so we were all in all the workshop sessions and all that, but how easy it is to have that kind of, the retreat is when I'm sitting down here, because the rest of the time I'm doing what looks a lot like what I'm doing around all every day of my life.
So, exactly.
And so there's the challenge. But then the huge gift in it is that, boy, talk about, you know, instead of bringing practice into your life into practice. This is our life.
This is our life, yeah. And I went into the retreat, and this was probably the gift. I went into the retreat with increased awareness and a commitment to just observe that chronic karmic predisposition to, like, oh my God, there's just so many details to attend to, you know? And it's just, it becomes the details plus a retreat.
Right.
You know, which just
retreat,
says,
in the workshop, details.
It just sends it out of the, you know, sends it over the top.
Yeah.
And as Sherry was saying the other day, you know, and if she knew that if she could stand there when her teacher gets angry and to be with peace, she knew she was free. And I have that too with a number of things, but you know, one of them is with the details, and what looks like all that needs to be done. And boy, I just know if I could be in the middle of all that and relax.
Yeah.
I would be totally free.
Yeah, it is much like the last conversation.
It is. So.
And I mean, again, the huge gift of living in an environment like this is that that's the entire point, if there were one, to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? No, everyone in the organization has that same orientation and perspective, that it's about being free.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I marvel actually at how, especially the guy pulls it off, it could seem like, well, then why don't we all just like be really nice to each other? And, you know, just who cares about the details? And it doesn't really matter. And, you know, but that's not it either. Because the details do matter. They matter a ton because everything matters.
Yeah.
And we put care into everything.
Yeah.
And so it's not this kind of loosey goosey, oh well, you forgot about that, or, you know, no big deal. But it's that place of the details matter, the human matters, all of life. I mean, it's this huge perspective that conditioned mind can't wrap its head around.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm taking in what you're saying, it's like who we are is represented in everything that's done, you know, and if we come to it with that attitude of, well, it doesn't matter,
right?
That's, you know, this being doesn't matter,
right?
But what life doesn't matter,
yeah.
and that if to make every act an act of reverence, a
yes.
sacred act, that life, it does matter,
yes.
It is all sacred,
yes.
And I can see that coming from that place can, I mean, well, there's no stress in that. I mean, you know.
Exactly. But that is what conditioning does with that everything matters is to get, quote, stressed.
Yeah, yeah,
because
exactly.
Because it translates that into, well, that means you have to get it right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is not what's being pointed at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's helpful. It makes it a little clearer to me. Mm-hmm. And I see ego in there, you know, going, I mean, the whole thing it flips into is get out of my way.
Yeah.
You know, I got something to get done here, and, you know.
I got to do this right.
Right, I got to do this right. You're dawdling in front of me and just, yeah. Who gave you permission to dawdle?
What do you want to train
on? Train? Can't you see I've got something important to do? Oh my gosh, just seeing that over and over and over again, you know. And so it was useful. And yeah, to be brought back to that place. I mean, the heart just wants to live in that sacred place.
Yeah. The heart does live in that sacred place.
Yeah.
We get to join
the
it.
The heart does live in that sacred place. You're right.
Yeah.
So, it was useful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just one quick, just random thing. That a lot of things have come up. I just want to pick one. Going back to the 2x4.
Uh-huh.
I'm very familiar with that 2x4. It's really well broken in at this point.
Uh-huh.
And what I aspire to is reading myself with a 2x4.
What you aspire to, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to work on. Because I feel like that's where really music comes from, ultimately.
Mm.
I mean, it feels like there's always going to be, well, in a lot of ways, probably always, going to be something that I can't see,
mm-hmm.
that I'll need assistance seeing.
Mm-hmm.
The impetus for waking up to that really feels like it needs to come from that side.
That, so kind of that attitude of mind we started with, where you're hit with the 2x4 and you're grateful for it, is kind of the first step,
yeah.
along the way. And then it sounds like what you're saying is getting to the place where you're actually generating the waking the being back up.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been my experience too, that, you know, after the resistance has gotten past,
mm-hmm.
after, you know, there's always gratitude, because it really does mean to wake. I've had this experience fairly recently, you know, to wake up to what I was missing in the confusion I was in,
mm-hmm.
like, wow, I mean, I'm so grateful
uh-huh.
for that, because the scene is really very similar to what we talked about earlier, but it seems great before,
mm-hmm.
everything seemed fine.
Right, right.
But I was missing the point, kind of.
uh-huh.
And what's available is just so much deeper.
Yeah.
And so much more just simple. And,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And his experience I had, I mean, the reason, yeah. But I mean, I didn't realize I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got pointed out just a little mm-hmm. bit. And I feel like, I mean, this is why I bring it up, because like, you know, I did have that experience of kind of hitting myself in 2x4, because
mm-hmm.
it's like what occurred is kind of to look at myself as, you know, here's this monk who is going through this, and I like kind of like trying to look at it from the point of view of the monastery and the guide, and what's needed, and then suggesting that. And so like doing everybody else's job with it, which was really very cool. And, you know, what I suggested was mostly just like, yeah, that's something I'm going to get. And you know, so I just, it felt like taking responsibility for it in a way that I really feel good about. And I want to keep practicing. Instead of, you know, first response, I mean, there's huge amounts of resistance too, but that's not where I was acting from.
Couldn't have been, yeah.
Right, yeah. Instead of just going right to the resistance and digging in, and then kind of forcing other people to pound on me for a while until I finally got off it and then was grateful.
Well, it's clear, at least if I'm following what you're saying, in that, that it's ego that's getting hit. Right, because, so, because it sounds like in the beginning that it wasn't a 2x4. It was just, you know, guidance or whatever, at least the way you described it. It was something little.
I even initiated the conversation. I said, hey, can I check out this thing? And there was this very simple, tiny little response that came back.
And then with that, it's like, kind of, it sounds like an intuition of, oh, okay, there are some things we can knock loose here. Let me see if I can help knock those loose and not require someone else to start knocking them loose.
Yeah, I did need that input coming back because I got a reflection in it that caused me to see it in a way that I had not seen it at all. But then, you know, I felt like I could jump on board. I could jump on board with that, and then, you know, like I'm in the, you know, eagle eye, kind of a more recent language, not realizing I'm an ego eye. And then that information comes and I see ego eye, so I'm going to get over here outside of ego eye and look at it instead. And then it just goes bananas. And, you know, and then I'm back and forth, I identify with it and then not identify with it, you know, just over and over and over and over again. But then whenever the rubber hits the road, the action is, let's do, here's the next thing we can do to really upset it and take power away from it and those kind of things. And that felt, it was really empowering for me, you know, for the, you know, the person, let's say, who wants to practice it.
For the being, because over and over, it's a really clear indication, you get it, that that's not you. That the ego eye is not who the being is.
It's interesting because it's like, I mean, the moment by moment experience, it felt like I was often, it's like I was confused about that. Like I felt like I get really identified with the resistance, but there's this container that's holding the whole thing that isn't confused. So it's like a crucible or something. So there's this chemical reaction that's going on. And because of the container, there's nothing wrong with that, and that doesn't need to be different. I don't have to take it personally. I know I'm not going to act from it, which is the important thing. If I act from it, then it could become suddenly very real, and, you know, I can live from it. And then it just kind of worked itself out. And it's still working itself out. But it feels like something has kind of passed. And so, you know, I'm in the gratitude part now. And then the next thing's going to come along.
Well, I mean, and that, you know, that's a side comment, but boy, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Didn't really get it. Then the next thing's going to come along. Because how easy it is, especially at that sort of stage, is to go to, okay, you know, we're good now. But to realize, oh, it's just a process. That's just a process that's happening. And it's just, that's the process of transformation. That's just the process of transformation, and it will always go on.
I realize we're out of time. Just one more little comment that in all that, I've just seen once again how perfect life is and how perfect the life that, you know, I have is for me. Because I've been given a way to live that is, it's sorry to say, but it's in a way it's exactly what I would have chosen. Without, if this hadn't, this form, this had, the monster had appeared in my life, you know, out in the middle of nowhere in nature, you know.
All alone, been, not talking to people.
Everything would have been exactly the same. But the thing that's here that wasn't there is there's also the opportunity to go beyond the karma.
Yeah.
And there, it would have just been an opportunity to relive the karma probably one more time after I don't know how many thousands of times this happened.
Yeah.
And that's just such a shift in perspective for me.
It's really, as you say that, I kind of get goosebumps back to our conversation about kindness, how profoundly kind it is to recognize. You know, because in that, we can guess in everything all each of us does, so go off in the middle of nowhere, there's something in there, very likely, that's, that the authentic being really wants.
Mm-hmm.
But that there's also a huge danger in it and a huge piece missing when it truly is completely off by yourself.
Yeah.
So just the kindness in that, offering a lifestyle that gives all those things that really support the authenticity while pushing the karma right up against what will most reveal it.
That's so true. I mean, that is, because, you know, I never wanted to make a big pile of money. Mm-hmm. Never wanted to. Never wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Never wanted to have children.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted something else.
Mm-hmm.
And karma and conditioning could take that and turn it into its opposite.
Yeah.
Make it look exactly like that.
Right.
But take away the what was in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And I just got really lucky, and it didn't. I'm just trying to do all the time, but
right.
I ended up with something else instead. I ended up with what I actually want.
Mm-hmm. What actually supports the being and is constantly challenging ego, stripping that ego eye away from the authenticity, returning it to life.
Yeah, and there's that trust that talks about in the retreat, growing trust that I'm not going to act out of that other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it gets big sometimes,
yeah.
But I'm not going to act out of that other thing, and so that allows it all to just come in, be there. I'm not going to try to keep it away.
Exactly.
And it can just come in. It can just work itself out.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's been happening lately. It's just working itself out.
And it can get big.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a heck of a lot of trust and faith in order for it to get that big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
it can burn that hot, and I know that I won't get burned in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, yes, that's me.
Yeah.
Yes. Interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.